I don't see any kids to go with you, Mrs. Fisher, so if there are any children, it would be time for them to go with Mrs. Fisher, but I don't see any, so. All right, well, let us pray. Most gracious God, open our minds by your Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and so live in the way of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews 1:16 through 19a. These verses remind us of the importance of recognizing and acknowledging the supreme authority of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's love and truth, and that he is far greater than any other being in heaven or in earth. Listen to the word of the Lord. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading is Psalm 103, the first 12 verses. Let us pray the psalm responsively, listening for a word or phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the psalm, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and allow them to inspire our own prayer to God. Let us pray with God's word. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
The final scripture lesson. Because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing for this a few weeks ago, I've had people say, how do you come up with the passages or the story or the sermons week after week? I've done 1,500 of them in the past. And I say, all you have to do is open the New Testament anywhere, and you will be blessed by God's words to you. And so I did that. Just popped it open. There's 2 Thessalonians 2. And the particular passage was 13 through 17. So okay. Somewhere or other. I said this before. You just open the book. And here I read it through and am overwhelmed by the fact that the 6 steps to redemption are all in that little passage. It's just 4 sentences, 5 verses. And now the 6 steps to redemption are included in that little passage. And then there's other gifts of grace that he mentions. And I'm just, oh, this is wonderful. This is what I'll talk about. So just, we're not going to get into great detail on any one of them, but the 6 steps are, to start with, number 1, God loves us. And it says that at the very beginning, God loves us. He created us. He created us in his image. It says, God so loved the world, and he does. I believe that God loves every one of his created beings, and he wants them to love him back. And that, as most of you know, is not a very common thing anymore. There are not a lot of people out there who love God back the way he loves us. Well, none of us could love the way he loves us. But that doesn't happen very much anymore. He's pouring his love out upon us, and most people in the world do not respond to that love. So, the next thing he says, the 2nd step, is being chosen by God. And being chosen by God is a very special thing. God lives in a dimension where everything is opened up to him. Our past, our future, he's been called the eternal present because he knows everything. And I believe that this chosenness comes when he does not get the love back that he poured out on these individuals. So he chooses the ones that have responded in love to him. And those, he goes on to the 3rd step, and that is to call them. He calls those who have been chosen. And he says he does it through the gospel, he does it through personal messages from people, might be pastors or parents or friends that may witness to them, might respond to Jesus and to God in love. And I know that this happens in life, and you don't give up on anybody, because we don't know. God knows what the future is going to be. We don't know. So you never give up. Just think of the thief on the cross. Now, there he is, just an hour or two away from death. And Jesus tells him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He takes a forgotten thief and blesses him and assures him of his salvation. He has called him and he has forgiven him. This man, I have personally experienced this with people in my 30 years of ministry, where you talk to them in their old age or on their sickbed, and they're worried about where they're going to go after they die. And I tell them, "Do you love God? Do you love Christ? Do you love the Spirit?" And if they say yes, I say, "Well, you've got nothing to worry about. You have been chosen. You have been called now, and you have accepted it." And so we move on personally with the people who say yes and haven't been part of the church. We move on to that fourth step, the justification step. And this is the step where Christ comes and forgives us of our sins. Christ comes and surrounds us with his righteousness. Christ blesses us in a very powerful way. And it's a wonderful time for those who have gone to the Lord and asked forgiveness. Because as I say in my assurance of salvation, you know, that anyone who comes to Jesus Christ asking forgiveness of their sins, that he is merciful and just and will indeed forgive us. It's a done deal. It's a one-time event, actually, for those who suddenly become aware of the need for Christ to forgive them and to redeem them and to cover them with his righteousness. What a blessed day that is. If you know when it was, maybe you don't even know when it was. Maybe you've just worshiped God all your life. But at some point, he has come into your life and justified you and surrounded you with his righteousness. And they say in the Heidelberg Catechism, when you get to heaven and you stand before the judge, that all he can see is not your old sinful self. All he can see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that surrounds you. What a blessing to know that this event takes place. I had a lady at my second church in Pennsylvania that told me at one point that the most exciting part of the whole worship experience was the assurance of forgiveness. I mentioned this when we had that the Good and Beautiful Community study last month. I mentioned that this lady to them, that she said she would literally get goosebumps every time I pronounced that assurance of forgiveness, because it meant that she was saved. It meant that she was on her way to meet her Savior. She would not miss a single Sunday, and she would have been mortified if I hadn't done that assurance of salvation. That to her was the most important part of the whole worship experience. Then we move on. After the justification, we move to the fifth step, sanctification. To sanctify means to make holy. And that is the process now Justification was a one-time event. Sanctification is an ongoing event. We are working, I hope, all of us, as much as we can to be more Godlike, to be like God and like Christ in our lives, to move on to that stage where we become more and more holy, to study the gifts of the Spirit, to study the sermons of Christ, to study the things in the Bible that would lead us closer and closer to being Christ-like in our lives. And as we reach out to those around us with that love, with that concern, with that need to share the good news with them. And as we become more and more holy, that's just God's incubation period. Because one day in heaven, we will be completed. The sin that so pervades this world and even our souls is gone for good. We are completely freed of that. We have been sanctified by the Lord. And that's a good thing to look forward to. But there's an even greater thing that comes when we reach heaven. And that is the sixth stage, glorification. Now we are to give God the glory, as our first hymn said this morning. Give God the glory, and yet he expects each of us to share in that glory. He said in Scripture that he was the light of the world. And yet also in Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that we who follow him and have dedicated our lives to him, we are the light of the world. And he said, you don't put the light under a bushel and hide it. You put it up on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. And in the same way, we are to give light to all of those around us so that they might see Christ in action and be blessed. And when we do that, we are sharing in God's glory. It says that the people might give praise and glory to God, and we share in that process then. But we can do it here in this life. We begin that process. In heaven, we will be like Moses and Elijah, who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ was glorified in our presence. He was made bright and shining. And we too then will take part in that process and become new creatures of God, creatures who have been glorified. What a process. And all of these steps, every single one of these six steps, is by grace. None of them can we achieve under our own doing. If we try, we fail and nothing happens. But if we humbly go to God and allow him to work in us, then we receive these blessings. And it's important for us to realize that there are gifts of grace that are literally uncountable in this world. In the book of Malachi, in the third chapter, God tells Malachi that if you obey me and do my will, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour so many blessings upon you that you will not have room for them all. He's talking about hundreds, maybe thousands of blessings that he will pour out on us. And I believe he does that to us in this life, that he pours his grace out upon us, and he gives us these blessings day by day in many, many different ways. But he lists two of them here in this passage of 2 Thessalonians. He said, first, we have good hope. Good hope, not the hope of these people out there that hope that they win the lottery or hope that they get a big promotion or hope that they get rich and can buy all these fancy clothes and yachts and all kind of things added to their collection. That is not the hope that they are talking about in the Bible. In the Bible, they are talking about the good hope. And in the Bible, the word good means perfect. The good teacher, he was the perfect teacher. The good book is the perfect book. We have good hope, perfect hope in Christ and in God and in the Spirit. We have these blessings, and they are given to us, it says, by grace. He loves us, and by grace, he gives us this good hope. He also gives us eternal encouragement. I have never seen those two words put together anywhere in the Bible or in just regular reading. I probably skipped it somewhere when I was reading through the Bible. And it's really unfortunate. Eternal encouragement. There is no reason, by God's grace, that he pours this blessing of encouragement upon us, and it's going to last for all eternity. We know it's going to be great up in heaven, but it can be great here on earth as well. It's eternal. It starts the day you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have that eternal, blessed encouragement. Now, there's a lot of things out there in the world that can discourage us, a lot of things that just don't make a bit of sense to us. I almost cringe watching the news nowadays because there's so much bad stuff going on, so much discouraging stuff. But you know what? God says, if you come to me, if you concentrate on me, I will give you eternal encouragement. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. There's a whole chapter a whole half of a chapter in the Sermon on the Mount about worrying. He says, let tomorrow worry about itself. You concentrate on me. We don't have to be discouraged about anything. I have people come to me, oh, my car broke down, this happened. Well, it's an inanimate object. It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Get it fixed, but don't worry. Don't beat yourself up over it. And even all the discouraging things that go on in this world, we can take them to the Lord and ask him to encourage us, to help us through these times, to help maybe the people that are also discouraged in our lives, to give them encouragement. I have seen this time and time again, where a person will go to a discouraged person and help them through their time of worry. We have this as a gift of grace. Again, we don't deserve it. We couldn't bring it about ourselves. But God, who loves us, will give it to us. I encourage you to read this passage, 2 Corinthians 2, 13 through 17. It's an amazing passage. It truly can change lives. I was so... just by opening it up by accident and reading these blessed spiritual words, you can find this kind of hope, this kind of encouragement, and literally hundreds of other gifts of grace that God will pour out on you. It's a sure thing. When you've gone through these six steps or working your way through the final two steps, God will bless you beyond your ability to comprehend. It is a marvelous, marvelous thing that God does for us. And it's all right there in the Bible. It's all right there in our hearts. He says he will encourage our hearts and he will strengthen us in every good deed and word for the rest of our lives. A true blessing. Let us hear the word of God. Go out and enjoy it. Amen.